Today is August 10th, year 2008, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. All right, now I want to start out, let me start out with one thing. We got two things I want to talk about first. One of them was about two or three weeks ago, the two presidential candidates in the United States, the one from the Republican Party, McCain, and the one from the Democratic Party, Obama, both gave their adorations to the beast. And you don't get elected unless you adore the beast. And everybody who knows me and has been listening to my sermons knows what I mean by giving adoration to the beast. More accurately, I would say they're giving adoration to the people of the beast. And they went over to Israel and visited Israel and went before the Holocaust memorial of the Jews who were supposedly killed during World War II, which was a hoax to start with, treating these people as if they were innocent victims. And they went over to the Western Wall and prayed at the Western Wall and wore a beanie cap. So what they really did was they gave their allegiance to apostate Talmudic Judaism. And they bowed down and licked the dust off the feet of these Jews, because if they didn't do it, they wouldn't get elected. And how come they wouldn't get elected? No more money would be flowing into their campaign coffers. And then they would also come out and dig up all kinds of dirt from their past. And it only proves with Jeremiah Wright, that pastor, even though he's a heretic, he did say correctly about Obama. He says, you watch, Obama's a politician now. He's going to deny everything he really believes in order to get elected. He says, I'm a pastor, and me, I have to say what I believe, which, you know, the United States is evil, the Jews are evil. And he really, even he backed off a little bit when pressure was on him, but he's still holding sort of to that ground. But it proves true, because before he was running for president, Obama was going along with these things, was sympathizing more with the Palestinians, criticizing the atrocities, the real tyrannical atrocities that the Jews are doing to the Palestinians. And he made some negative comments against the United States as being evil and all that. And now all of a sudden he's backed up, he's backed off of his position, and he's now given allegiance to the beast, or he'll never get elected. Now, this week I'm going to be posting that up on my website. That you're going to see the videotapes of these two guys going in there and adoring the beast. And he's over there. You see Obama at the Holocaust Memorial, which he doesn't even realize. This whole thing's a hoax. And even if it wasn't a hoax, every one of those Jews is burning in hell forever. If they did burn on earth in a Holocaust, that only lasted for about a split second or two, and then they died. But what happened after that was they went before the judgment throne of God, and he sent them down into the eternal fire of hell, the eternal Holocaust. All the sympathy for the Jews is sickening. You don't see them going and doing it about victims of other wars. It's always the Jews. It's always the Jews, the people of the beast. And they have to go and give their allegiance so they get elected. And that's what happened about 3 weeks ago. I'm going to have the video posted on my website under the Zionist conspiracy thing, where you're going to see these two guys going down and giving their adorations to the beast. Another thing I wanted to talk about for a couple of weeks I didn't get a chance to talk about was the opinion we hold, which I really firmly believe is true, that Joseph was married to Mary. Really married to her before the incarnation took place, before Jesus came into the womb of Mary by the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's definitely, I firmly believe that, because the whole purpose, as we said before in the sermon I already did, is posted up on my website. I talk about this extensively, but I just want to give one more proof of that. Joseph was to protect Mary so that people would not think that she conceived out of wedlock. So if God was going to use Joseph, this was one of his purposes, why would God then have Mary conceive first, and then later on Joseph would marry her? It's all upside down. It doesn't make sense. It's the same thing that the people say when they talk about Cornelius, and they thought Cornelius was justified with sanctifying grace 5 minutes before Peter baptized him with water. That's illogical, it's stupid, and it turns God out to be a liar. Why would God give Cornelius and his companions sanctifying grace when 5 minutes later he's going to be baptized by water? That's when God would have done it. The gifts that were given to Cornelius and his companions were gifts of the Holy Ghost called charisms that showed to Peter that these men were pleasing to God and therefore worthy of being baptized. I go into that in my book. Now, God's not going to have Mary conceive and get pregnant with Jesus by the Holy Ghost when she's not married, if the whole purpose of Joseph was to protect her reputation. Okay? It's not going to happen sometime later. It's certainly not going to. And if the opposing opinion at best could say, if they want to, they can hold. I'm not saying it's heretical to hold the opposing opinion that Joseph married her after the conception, but you better not start saying stuff like it was like 3 months later. Because then her pregnancy's beginning to show. The whole thing is ruined. People are going to say, hey, they had either two things. Mary had relations with somebody else or with Joseph before they were married. Either way, her reputation is ruined. And her reputation was preserved intact by Joseph. No, if people wanted to come out and lie about me, that's another issue. But one of the main purposes of Joseph was to protect her reputation. And so we firmly believe, without a doubt, that Mary, Joseph and Mary, were not just engaged, they were married before the incarnation took place. Now, we have some proofs of that, by the way. Some really good proofs of that. The big argument they try to use when you're reading Luke 1:27, because Luke 1:27's work is an account of this. Let me read Luke 1:27 in a second here, and we'll go on. It goes, okay. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee called Nazareth. Now, they're setting up the this is the incarnation. And Gabriel's appearing to Mary. And he says, he appeared to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. So they use that word espousal, and it could mean two ways. It can mean engagement, or it could mean married. It could go both ways. Some of the people like to say, and they believe, well, it means that they were engaged. Well, really, as I just said before, it doesn't make sense that God would do that. If one of the purposes of Joseph was so Mary, when she gets pregnant, could already be married to Joseph and preserve her reputation. Well, we go over to Luke, which just confirms my opinion that espoused means they were married. We go over to Luke chapter 2, verse 5, and let's read that verse. And what's happening here is Joseph and Mary, Mary's already pregnant with Jesus. They're leaving Nazareth and on the way to Bethlehem, and they're just about, and she's just about ready to give birth to Jesus. So she's in her ninth month, pregnant for quite some time. It's showing, people know she's pregnant. It's her ninth month. She's on the way with Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Let's read this. We'll start at verse 1 even. And it came to pass that in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This enrolling was first made by Cyrenius, the governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his espoused wife. Again, they mention his espoused wife on the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which is the ninth month of her pregnancy. Are you now going to tell me that he still didn't marry her? Where is the preservation of her reputation? That means she was at least walking around 7 months showing her pregnancy and not being married. So all the people are going to definitely look at Mary and say, hey, what's going on here? Either Joseph fooled around with her before they got married, or she was fooling around with somebody else. Totally impossible. 100% impossible. Anybody that reads that scripture, and any of the church fathers even had that other opinion, their opinion was that Joseph married her quickly right after that. So there was her reputation still would have been preserved, but it doesn't fit in with God's plans. This, if you try to say that Joseph still was not married with Mary when they were on the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem 9 months later, you've got to be crazy. It's against ordinary magisterium, at least. All right. But the point in here is they use the word espoused, just like they used when the angel Gabriel appeared unto Mary, who was espoused of Joseph. We know it means marriage in Luke 2, 5, and we know it means marriage in Luke 1:27. That's just more confirmation of how the word espoused could be used. And if everyone who has even a little common sense is going to agree, oh, I definitely, Joseph was married to Mary in her ninth month when she's ready to give birth. So espoused in Luke 2:5 definitely means married. And I say in Luke 1:27, it definitely means married. Let's stop fooling around with God and His ways and trying to pretend God's going to undermine everything He sets up. If God set up Joseph to protect her reputation, He's not going to have Joseph marry Mary 2 or 3 days after the incarnation. 2 or 3 days before, yes, but not 2 or 3 days after. Sorry, pal, it doesn't work with the ways of God. It's the same thing when people say Cornelius was sanctified 5 minutes before Peter baptized him with water. Which Jesus said, that's the means in which you are going to get the sanctifying grace and all that. You even have people holding such stupidities now on the baptism, desire, and blood for catechumen issue that I heard people saying that every catechumen with the use of reason who already believes in the Catholic faith and desires to be baptized is sanctified. Therefore, baptism for those with the use of reason doesn't sanctify anybody because they already are sanctified because they desired it before they got the water. So therefore, they got everybody with the use of reason who's getting baptized, getting an indelible mark and membership, but they're not getting sanctifying grace because they already got it. Now, why would God, first of all, undermine what he said? And if God knows you're going to get the water, why would he sanctify them before they get the water? It's stupid. It's an insult to God. I'll have none of it. You know, and if you want to read about my opinion on the absolute necessity of baptism by water, read my book, The Baptism Controversy. It's irrefutable. I guarantee you, folks, that the next pope is going to infallibly define it. That's a fact. It will prove to be true. And you will see that come to pass. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.